Welcome to Ask Catherine. Questions as of July 5th. I'm recording a day late on July 8th. It was quite a week. And again, as always, thank you for your question. Let's start with cash and precious metals. Make sure you look at the script because I'm going to read quickly today. We have a lot of questions and I want to make sure we go through all of them. Hi, Catherine. This is my third question. I understand Solaria is more about passive investments. Not so. But I wish there was more material on active ones, entrepreneurship. So I've put up a couple links. One of my favorite books on entrepreneurship is Making Waves by Jason Bodden-Smith. We did an interview with Jason. You can check that out. There's a wonderful book called Startup Financing for the Rest of Us by Peter Ireland. There's a very old interview in the library. I put up the link with that. But it's a great, really great piece on collection on how to finance businesses. Then a discussion on the comfort call story, organizing the legal structure for your startup. We've done a lot with A-share, B-share, stock plans. There are a lot of crowdfunding links. If you go into the library and do a search for crowdfunding, you'll find a lot on that if that is of interest. Anyway, so over time, we've done a lot. Starting your own business is very unique to your skills and your situation. But I think those materials may help you think through it. I think the real opportunity is in helping people come up with do-it-yourself toolkits. I just bought a salad bar. It's kind of like a mini greenhouse for doing all your greens. That's a perfect example of helping people with sort of do-it-yourself. Dear Catherine, thank you for sharing. And again, yes, basics on food, energy, shelter, and also making things liquid, currency and equity. And tech services in a community and telecommunications, private telecommunications. Dear Catherine, thank you for sharing your wisdom and empowering us to make informed individual decisions. What are your thoughts about adding precious metals to offshore retirement trust? What would you recommend in terms of, I don't think there's anything such as a risk-free jurisdiction when it comes to holding assets, whether onshore or offshore. It all comes down to the quality. If you're using in a retirement account or trust, the quality of the servicer and the trustee, the quality of the custodian, the quality of the dealer, the amount that you're going to be holding, and the level of fees. I think my preferred way would be to have an asset manager in both Zurich and probably Singapore that would include in the account the ability to leave bullion at very trustworthy custodian institutions that they had an institutional relationship with, but to do that, you're going to have at least 500,000 to a minimum in an account. If it's small amounts, one thing to consider that has become a lot harder and more difficult with COVID is Das Safe is a custodian in Vienna. You can not leave a name, you just get a number, and but don't lose your key and don't lose your number. Franklin Sanders in the July 28th wrap up will publish a list of the depository he recommends. Most of those, however, are onshore. There are a lot of digital services that will allow you to go online and they will keep your gold custodian, and some of them will deliver it when you want it. I used to recommend one, and since I stopped being an investment advisor, there are none that I recommend. I just haven't done a serious due diligence. But again, there's no jurisdiction that's perfectly safe, so I would tend to, if I use them, one, you need to do your due diligence, but if they pass your due diligence, you know, I would tend to not have a lot of money in any of them. Remember the FBAR form. If you have an account where another entity can transact on your behalf without you going and literally unlocking the box, then you're going to have to report it on your FBAR form. If you have any account abroad where it's essentially not in a box, then it's above $10,000 in any part of the year, then you're going to have to file an FBAR form with your U.S. taxes if you're a U.S. resident. All jurisdictions with rare exception will obey a U.S. seizure request. So if the U.S. says, okay, everybody has to turn over all their money to the government, and you've got an IRA in Switzerland, they're going to turn your money over to the government. So unless you're in a jurisdiction that specifically is stated, it will not obey U.S. seizure requests, or it's in a box and nobody can open it without you having the key, although they can certainly drill in. You should assume that if the US government knows about it, they have the rights to seize it no matter where it is in the world. Dear Catherine, I'm a new subscriber and deeply appreciative of your educational content. My perspective is much more optimistic as I journal forth. So this is one who is asking about a Singapore precious metals company. I'd never looked at them before you asked, and I went and looked. They look fairly they look good enough so that if I was looking at them in the when I was an investment advisor, I'd be willing to take the time to do a serious due diligence. Jim Sinclair, you said, is on their board. He's not on their board. He's on their advisory board. It's a big difference whether it's on your corporate board. So you have legal liability versus an advisory board. An advisory board, you have no legal responsibility or liability for the company. Anyway, so as I said, they look sound enough so that if I was in a position to do a serious due diligence, they look good enough to start. Problem is a serious due diligence. When I the last one that I had and the only one I'd ever recommended was Gold Money. I'd met with the CEO and some of the board members on multiple occasions. I had gone to the Channel Islands, to Jersey, to visit their offices and their operations, speak with them in details. I'd reviewed in detail their custodian procedures. So it's a pretty significant investment to do a real due diligence on one of these companies. And obviously, I'm not in a position to fly to Singapore to do it. But if you can, I don't know what to tell you because you need to know somebody who's done business with them and has really vetted their operations. But, or you just need to put a small amount in and not take any meaningful risk. But I do think Singapore, from a financial standpoint, will be a very sound and growing jurisdiction. Hi, Catherine. My question is about banking in Canada. I believe I have solid understanding of your opinions. On and on and on. If Ottawa starts to seize or freeze accounts, oh, so they sent an article by Danielle Smith, who's a leadership candidate for the United Conservative Party. What they said is if Ottawa starts to freeze accounts, we will encourage people to open accounts at provincially regulated banks and credit unions to say we won't enforce that here. Wow, that's somebody I would definitely vote for. I would definitely vote for. That would be great if a provincial government could do this. I think a provincial government could do a lot to enforce sovereignty, so I find that very impressive. But certainly, that is a candidate I would donate to and support. She's speaking my language. I'll look. The election's on October 6th. I hope she wins. If she wins, I'd definitely move to a state-regulated credit union or bank. That would be great. Question: silver is at 1950 an ounce, really? And the premium for U.S. silver Eagles takes it up to 3260. That's the only time I don't like supply and demand. Here's the thing, I just as silver falls, I just keep buying. So what can I tell you? Just keep buying on the way down. Hi, Catherine. Recently in money market sessions, you told us how to find the Carson's video. I put the link in the show notes. You can always just go to the Cash Friday section of our homepage. Click on the Cash Friday, the big red cap, and the Carson's video will be right there. You can't miss it. Somebody had a question as a result of the Greg Hunter show on my letter to a New York Fed member bank. I offset the $14,000 missing from the US government against the $14,000 I owed them. That story is in the introduction to the taxation piece. And if you go to ourmoney.solari.com/taxation, you can read it on the website or in the PDF. And I talk about it with my attorney. I don't have a copy of the letter. It was in, a letter was written in 2006. Old letter, but to write a letter like that, you have to organize it around your specific situation. And ideally, you can find an attorney to advise you on doing this. I can't do it for you. This is the kind of situation where we have to help ourselves and each other. And we can do that by sharing actionable intelligence. But there's a great deal about your situation I don't know. You have to take responsibility for what you want to do and how you want to do it and the negative consequences. I mean, some of these banks, I had more than some pretty, JP Morgan Chase over a car loan threatened to grab my house. And because, they're a real dirtball, but you're going to have to take responsibility to do this yourself. But I hope that write-up in that description helps you understand what to do and help you make an intelligent decision for you. Hi, Catherine. I'm interested in locating a financial advisor that is aligned with the Solari philosophy. The key to being aligned with us is to have a good map. So if they've digested sort of the Solarian map and information about what's really going on in the financial system and the economy, I think that's the issue. Can you find somebody who's not locked into the official narrative? Now, I cannot recommend anyone because that would be deemed to be investment time. I had a very difficult time when I was an investment advisor and finding financial planners and asset managers who sort of understood and reflected our philosophy. I had better luck in the European jurisdictions, in part because they were focused on real productivity. And even though they didn't necessarily go look at the black budget and sort of secret money the way I did, but they were focused on companies with real productivity. Some of them included US asset managers who'd moved abroad to get away from the corruption. I've had several financial planners on the equity overview who I think are very capable and competent. I don't always agree with them. The other thing is the SEC and your state regulators have databases of investment advisors in your state. If you're in the United States, and you can go through those and look at both the websites and ADV brochures. And what you're looking for is somebody who understands real risks, not just official narrative risks. If you use the official narrative for risk management, you're going to get yourself in real trouble. And you want somebody who understands real assets, is looking to build wealth through real assets. They are out there. I've had people go through the databases for their state at both the SEC and the state and make a list, check the websites, and prune it down to people who are competent. About 24% historically of the asset managers can outperform the market, and you can ask them for their history and their performance record, and you'll be able to tell who's really performed. Then somebody said they hadn't gotten their question answered. The answer would have been in the audio posted in Money and Markets. The script would have had your question, but the audio, I think the question was in the audio. Somebody wanted to know what percentage of their assets should they hold in precious metals. And I have an article on what percentage of my assets should I hold in precious metals, and it'll walk you through that. So recommended firms for doing it. If you want to invest an IRA in precious metals, the question is how much do you want in bullion? How much do you want in security form? So you can do it with securities and you can do it with bullion. And you can also do self-directed. So you have a servicer, you buy the gold and send it to an approved custodian. I think the big decision for you is, do you want to do it in a self-directed in bullion, or do you want to do it? Can you do it in a, if you have an asset manager, only if it's a pretty big account, will they do bullion through an asset manager through an IRA? You can do it in Switzerland, but I find most firms, US firms, don't do that. They want to hold it in securities form. And then, of course, if you want to do it in a securities form, you can manage it yourself, or you can have an asset manager. It's up to you. Somebody sent in a picture of someone saying, "We want cash, no CBDCs." It's great. Very cute. I have it in the notes. Two people from Bulgaria wanted to know what I thought of a proposal from India. I agree there's a lot of opportunity to organize the retail sector. It's more like what Alibaba did to make the little guys competitive. When I look at something like this, I organize around the underwriting the person. The problem is I know nothing about the person, so I can't express an opinion if it makes sense. I would say, again, there is a lot of opportunity in helping small business aggregate and be competitive. They're promoting blockchain, and one of the things they said is blockchain, unlike other centralized technologies, does not force unwanted social and economic reforms on the people. I totally disagree. Go digest Alison McDowell's work. Alison and I believe blockchain is likely the basis of a new slavery human collateral system. So I'm not a fan of the blockchain. Hi, Catherine. Words are completely inadequate to express our gratitude for the work and mentoring you do. Okay, so this is a wonderful post from Louisiana that inspired me to take a look at the latest of Senator Kennedy from Louisiana attacking the FEMA new flood insurance risk system. This one's a hoot. I'm so glad you brought this to my attention. Needless to say, Kennedy is hero of the week for this. It's unbelievable what's going on. It's just outrageous. Anyway, if you're interested in how the federal government can make a mess of things, you take a look at this post. Hi, Catherine. I sent an email several weeks ago. I know you're busy. What is your recommended way to buy silver, coins, bars? Outline in person with a trusted dealer. Okay, I would have to know a huge amount about you to know what made sense for you. Everybody's different. Depends on where you live, what your situation is, whether you want to keep it at home, whether you're willing to buy a safe, on and on and on. Okay, so let me walk you through. The dealers I use are Volunteer Metals in Tennessee, Treasure Island in North Dakota, and then in Europe I use Holland Gold. The out in Berkeley I use Foster's Coin Shop. So if you look at the silver and gold calculator, it's silverandgoldourmoney.com. We have a silver equivalence table in the back, and I buy 1 ounce sovereign gold coins, silver coins. So the last ones I bought, I always buy the lowest premium to melt value. The last 2 times I bought were Cougarans, but I'm always buying more silver coins. So we have 1 ounce silver Solari coins that we use for promotions and give as gifts. And so we don't sell them, but we do use them and give them away as promotions. And we can arrange if a subscriber wants to have them be able to use our die if they want to make 50 or more. The minimum order that the mint we use will take is 50. Every time silver drops a little, I just buy more Solari coins. But generally, I recommend to people they buy sovereign coins with the lowest premium to melt value, which is you're going to be able to get a better deal on Cougarans in most cases, or 90% silver than you can on Solari coins. Dear Catherine, I have a small sum of cash, £20,000, which I would like to take out of the bank and hold as a simple store of value. And then you describe that you have serious neurological problems and problems with cognitive. If that's the case, you don't want to be keeping coins or cash at home. If you are, this is pretty tricky, but the way people lose money on coins and cash is they forget where they put them, or they have them someplace, the plumber comes in, they forget they were there, and then they disappear. I mean, I've literally had, somebody lose $65,000 of silver because they forgot when they told the plumber to go downstairs that they had a ton of silver in the buckets downstairs, and so the plumber presumably walked out with them. So I just think if you have real cognitive issues, I would not be keeping coin and cash at home. Or if I did, I would make sure there was a very trusted family member or attorney where you could make sure they knew where it was as well, so that you didn't lose it. So I think they're real dangerous in your, because you say it affects your cognition and seriously limits concentration and mental capacity. I would listen to all the Franklin Sanders Best of the Solari Report, or the Best of the Precious Metals Market Report, and he goes through sort of keeping them at home. But if I were you, I would be very concerned about moving money out of the bank. Now, you might want to find a bank that's a smaller, more local bank than Barclays, but I would be very careful. If you want to move it out of the banking system, can you get a safe deposit box and keep everything in the safe deposit box? Given what you said about cognitive abilities, and given how often people lose money, both cash and coin, by keeping it at home when they have these challenges, or they have any reason to, they're not necessarily in the strongest neighborhood. So I would be loath to bring it home. I would find a way to keep it where you had a custodian you could trust. The other thing is, I would not move all 20,000 out, or £20,000 into precious metals. You're going to need cash for a rainy day. So I would make sure you had a rainy day fund in the currency that you spend in. So obviously, if you're in the UK, then you would want to keep pounds. So I wouldn't take everything out of the bank, or if I did take everything out of the bank and put it in a safe deposit box, I wouldn't put it in all gold. I'd have cash If you have to take something out of gold quickly, you can run a big premium or transaction fee going in and out. Hello, Catherine, and happy fourth. I have two questions for you. What's up with the US Census? We've gotten a couple questions about this, and this is the American Survey, and I haven't seen the latest, but what I keep hearing, it's deeply invasive. Now, we had our general counsel take a look and write a special about what the enforcement issues and what the penalties were if you didn't fill it out. And I've asked her to take a look at it and update this. So I put a link to the old one there, and I very much appreciate the reports that subscribers have been sending. Also, can you talk about depositing and/or withdrawing cash from US banks? I received a New York customer request from Citibank after withdrawing 10,000 several times in January, as I wanted to keep my balance under 250 for FDIC purposes, and I need cash on hand for my business. If everything collapses, I had to do two interviews with Citi and fill out the kind of paperwork explaining my business, restaurant, why I withdrew cash, etc. Again, super creepy and upsetting, made to feel like a criminal for doing business with them. Thank you for all you do. All I can say is, why in the world are you banking at Citibank? Citibank, when you bank with criminals, you're helping to finance their criminal activities. And you shouldn't be surprised to be treated like a criminal. It's called projective identification. They attack you for what they're doing. And of course, those are the tricks they use to stop people from taking out cash. They're trying to turn everything all digital. So, according to the latest FOIA report, Citibank is the largest percentage ownership of the New York Fed. And the New York Fed is the depository for the US government, those accounts that are missing 21 trillion, with Citibank acting as an agent for the New York Fed. And they're continuing to sell the US Treasury bonds that operates this disappearing 20, or finances this disappearing 21 trillion. My question to you is, why would you want to support that? I find it baffling. Anyway, criminals never respect the people who let them get away with murder. So if you're banking with them and you have an objection to all the things you're doing, they're doing, enough said. If you have a restaurant and you're receiving cash, then one way to get the cash is not take it out, just never put it in. So you might want to get a safe deposit box or some kind of secure custodian place that you can store cash, or get a couple of hidden safes at home. If you're in New York City, I wouldn't want to hold a lot. Wait a minute, I'm assuming you're in New York City, I'm not sure. But you may be able to do something with hidden safes. We have a great interview with Dan Perkins in the library on how to buy a safe. Get a good bank. You deserve a good bank. If you read the stories of Citibank predatory lending to poor people and what they did during the financial crisis, it's absolutely a crime. I used to get all the predatory lending offers in Tennessee, and from the local Citibank predatory lending operation. I hate to say this, lie down with dogs, get up with fleas, right? Anyway, get yourself a good bank. You deserve a good bank. And a good bank would work with you and wouldn't make you feel, if they had to play the know your customer game because of the regulations, they wouldn't make you feel bad. They'd apologize. Dear Catherine, I'm struggling to find my good local bank in the UK, but suddenly realized that I'm a member and have voting rights in the Nationwide Building Society. I just took a look at their operation and websites. That's a very interesting entity. The AGM is coming up shortly, and I wonder what questions I might ask. Might be a longer term plan. Oh, this is wonderful. So I would ask them what you and Nationwide members and Nationwide can do to protect cash and cash systems and financial privacy and prevent an all digital transaction system and CBDCs from going into effect in the UK. An all digital system will destroy privacy in small business and farming, and you want none of it. Anyway, so I really look forward to hearing from you what you learned and what they said. Hi, the announcement from Putin that a BRICS digital currency backed by gold is coming really shook me. It's going to be a currency basket. I think gold will be involved. They first announced doing something like this in, was I think in 2018 and 2019. See state of our currency. It's in the timeline. Anyway, it's going on for a long time. The housing market, you asked about housing, has slowed down remarkably in the US. There are reports of significant increase in inventory in some of the states, not all of the states. So This is very local. You have to understand the local market. I don't know where you are. And buying rental properties is highly specific to local markets. If you're in a good market, a good jurisdiction, and you can buy at a good yield, it's always a good time as far as I'm concerned. Will it get better? It could definitely get better. The chances that the prices go lower improve. I don't know if you're financing it, but don't expect interest rates to drop dramatically anytime soon. There's lots of money looking to get out of the bond market, which is why I think there's going to be continual support of money looking for good rental properties. How trusting, so new question, how trusting is it to invest in fixed indexed annuities in this environment? The interest rate is at 6 to 7%. So I've never met an annuity that I liked. I'll just be perfectly blunt. There's an exception if you have somebody who's truly disabled and incapable and cannot deal with investments, and do not have someone they could trust, then, getting a very top rating sort of bond rating or credit rating, but it has to be the very top in a US really top insurance company or Swiss top insurance company, then getting an annuity makes sense. But otherwise, I absolutely believe it's better to control. And so I would much rather put together a securities portfolio that gives me a certain yield and result and manage it myself and have the, just have total control to manage it quickly and liquidate quickly or do something if I needed to. So anyway, so I'm not a fan of annuities. And I've never met a situation, I haven't looked at the one you're looking at, but I've never met one where you couldn't do something with your own portfolio that didn't give you more power and more flexibility and wasn't better. Unless you're dealing with somebody with very low credit ratings that was too iffy for me. Can you prepare a chart to allow to show where China is spending the US dollars? I put a link in here to the website where the Chinese provide a wealth of statistics. It's amazing how much they provide and how much they make public in their long-term planning on military currency and a lot of other things. Anyway, check that link out. Can you please give us your insight into why IRS is buying so much ammo? Yeah, they're creating a shortage for obvious reasons. If you're going to freeze and steal everybody's assets, you don't want them to have a lot of ammo. I was at a graduation party last night. A woman I know who's worked at TD Bank's mortgage department for about 16 years told me that the home equity loan business is booming, not surprising as the higher appraised values created by the recent boom will allow people to again use their home equity as a piggy bank. I imagine the loans may be used to stay afloat as wages stagnate and price inflation erodes purchasing power. Absolutely. And as people struggle with all sorts of adverse consequences and immune suppression from the injections, the sale home inventory is increasing, and I put a link to some of the information about it. Can you please explain what you mean by, so now this is a feedback section. Can you please explain what you mean by spiritual war? War of interdimensional intelligence and forces, so divine versus demonic, angels versus demons, that plays out through the material world. If you want to learn more about this, read C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters is a great description. Or one of my favorites is watch the children's cartoon movie Monsters, Inc. Put that in the show notes, Monsters, Inc. Do you think that possibly many of the neocons in our government are following in the footsteps of the Russian revolutionary who aimed to create a neo-Bolshevik revolution in the US and that the execution of Ashi Babbitt was a result of the January 6 riot now in trial was to justify a Patriot Act 2.0? So I believe what we're watching now, the tactics are exceptionally Bolshevik. If you're interested, read Solzhenitsyn's 200 Years Together, and you realize, basically you had a small group of people financed by Wall Street, basically going in to destroy a civilization and do a serious genocide, mostly of Christians, is what it looks like to me. Anyway, but Solzhenitsyn's 200 Years Together. But if you look at their tactics, the tactics are very similar to the neocons. On January 6th, I haven't tried to look deeply into what happened in the Capitol building and who did what. To me, the whole thing looked like an op. We had somebody down there who wanted to cover it, and they said, should I go over the Capitol? And I said, you should just go home. Nothing good is going to come from this day. It's just a, to me, it was an op from beginning to end. Trump really set up his followers. He really set them up. It was very ugly. A lot of people were targeted. I think people like Simone Gold was targeted. It was really dirty trick because the powers that be did everything they could to make it look like people had, they were invited to go into the Capitol. So this was a setup. And yes, I think it was they're trying to get domestic terrorism legislation so that they could basically do a Phoenix program in the United States. And I give my hat tip to a lot of the Republicans who stopped them from getting that law through. And I think a lot of the shootings this year, whatever the truth of them was, the goal was to try and force gun control and this domestic terrorist law through the Senate. And again, tip of the hat to the Republicans who've worked hard to stop it. Anyway, if you want to get a sense of some of the tactics, of the Bolsheviks, another good thing to read in addition to Solzhenitsyn is A History of Central Banking and the Enslavement of Mankind. And again, these issues come down to usury and the bankers trying to enforce usury and various people trying to stop it. And the dirt ball that gets used to force the sort of usury model down everybody's throat. And it's very interesting what Goodson says in A History of Central Banking and the Enslavement of Mankind. It's one of the books I recommend in The State of Our Currency. Is every time a society adopts usury, it's simply a matter of time until they fail. And of course, what did we do in the 90s? We made usury legal in the United States, and it was simply a matter of time before we failed. So yeah, it's very Bolshevik. During a meeting in, oh, I wanted to mention this in connection with the destruction of the Georgia Guidestones. I was reading Jacob Nordung's new book called Financial Global Coup d'Etat, and he included a copy of a memo from 1991 that was a proposal submitted for the 1992 Earth Charter meeting by the secretary by the United Nations. And Patrick Wood, in our interview about technocracy, talks about all the environmentalists who realized, uh-oh, these guys were going to use environmentalism as a air cover to make sure the corporations owned and controlled all the assets. And it was pretty sort of the real kickoff of technocracy's big wave that we're in right now. Anyway, somebody submitted this letter. It came in from the United Nations Association of Iowa. What's interesting about that is one of the guys believed to be behind the Georgia Guidestone was from Iowa. Anyway, let me read this. And he says the language was reminiscent of Robert Christian's ideas, and the document contained the following draconian recommendations. The Security Council of the United Nations, led by the Anglo-Saxon major nation powers, will decree that henceforth the Security Council will inform all nations that its sufferance on population has ended, that all nations have quotas for reduction on a yearly basis, which will be enforced by the Security Council by selective or total embargo of credit items of trade, including food and medicine, or by military force when required. The Security Council of the UN will inform all nations that outmoded notions of national sovereignty will be discarded, and the Security Council has complete legal, military, and economic jurisdiction in any region of the world. Okay, so what is interesting about this is he's talking about a quota system enforced by trade and credit, including food and medicine, or military force when required. And each nation has its quota for population reduction. And if you look at what's been going on for the last 2 years, this is exactly what it looks like. It looks like every country has a quota and the quotas are different. So what's happening in different countries is very different country to country. But that's what it looks like, a very sophisticated management plan run by quota for population reduction. Anyway, I bring that up just because if you look at what happened in Russia with the Bolshevik, it was clearly a population reduction nowhere near as subtle and sophisticated as the one we're dealing with. Question is the imminent disaster you mentioned that is not being discussed in public, but which is driving deep state behavior, possibly a pole shift is outlined in this book. It's called The Deep History in the Ages of Man. I was speculating, because I said I don't know what's driving Mr. Global's behavior, but I would think that geophysical risks are one of them. Could it be a pole shift? I don't know enough about it to know, but you know, that is one of the big unanswered questions. Is Mr. Global worried about serious geophysical risks? And is that why we're in a crash course to become a multiplanetary civilization? And there's no doubt every 10 to 12,000 years, it looks like there is a catastrophe on the planet. Check out Graham Hancock's work if you're interested. I have no idea, but the list of possible geophysical problems is not a short one. But could it be a pole shift? Yes, could be. Hi, Catherine. In this week's Money and Markets, you mentioned a book written by an attorney detailing how children are being targeted with entrainment technologies from smartphones. The book is, she doesn't talk about entrainment technologies, but her number one recommendation is don't give your kid a smartphone. I mean, essentially, you're basically providing a direct linkage between organized crime and your child who is going to be essentially prey for those organized crime networks. So you just can't give kids a smartphone. It's too dangerous. You're giving open access to the most dangerous psychopaths in the world. Anyway, the book is Irreversible Damage. If you go to Solari and do a search, you'll just pick up my book review. And I strongly recommend this book, particularly if you have kids. It's really about teenage girls being a target. So it's more focused on women. But I think all the same problems apply to men. Anyway, but I've put the link in the show notes so you can find it there. Catherine, I have a few bits of info from the front line of living in the culture of hurting behavior from businesses nudging us. And then you describe unbelievable moving in on your local grain mill, no more organized feed, then the local bank, shutting down the ability to use a safe deposit box for cash. Then you're talking about AAA of Colorado being purchased. This is really scary. Now, I'm trying to figure out if it was the tow truck that got purchased or AAA. But yeah, exactly. This is, again and again and again, you're describing how the control grid is moving in on us. And this is what happens when the central banks publish, create out of thin air $5 trillion as they did in the United States of money and inject it into the economy to be managed by their friends. The next thing you know, you're off and running. And this is why I said earlier that businesses that create do-it-yourself toolkits and businesses that help us vertically integrate, like ranchers starting to grow their own, you know, their own feed. Those are the businesses that we need. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here. A quick San Francisco report. I read this last week, but I'm going to read it again. Not last week, but 2 weeks ago on the last desk, Catherine. My husband's truck was stolen last month. Since it was recovered, we've been working with the insurance company and the repair shop to get the truck back on the road. It was badly damaged and parts were stripped. Today, it was ready for pickup and it was right out in front of the repair shop. Stolen again, twice in 4 weeks. Our insurance agent told us this afternoon that even having your vehicle in your garage doesn't guarantee its safety. Homes are being broken into in San Francisco by car thieves. If they want your vehicle, they'll get it. So it was especially appropriate to learn today that Congress is moving rapidly on passing gun control as the southern border remains wide open. Exactly whose side is our government on? Yes, that was said with enormous sarcasm. Hope you're doing well. Jesus. Anyway, somebody just sent me a message saying that they've reinstituted masks for 2 to 4 year olds in San Francisco. This is all how you get people to sell their real estate and leave. So if you're gentrifying, you know, this is what the African-American neighborhoods used to call a beatdown. And one of them is basically, you know, letting crime run rampant on the middle class so they all leave. Anyway, I also wanted to put something. I was talking to somebody in South Africa who now on his smartphone gets messages from the local utility telling him when they're going to shut his electricity down. So they basically have rolling blackouts for, let's see, this one is 2 hours, this one is 2.5 hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours. So on Tuesday, no, Monday, one for 2 hours. On Tuesday, three for 2 hours each. On Wednesday, three for 2 hours. Jesus, can you imagine? It is clearly driving everyone I know dealing with it crazy. So, but don't be surprised if it comes your way. This is why I have a generator. And I'm looking for a new propane tank, so now I have two. Question, have you read the new book by Naomi Wolf? No, but I've ordered it. So I'm trying to read a book a week, but I'm now about 5,000 books behind. Hi, Catherine and John. How is it so many people are refusing to work? How do they survive? So you describe a situation where the local dry cleaner had to really limit their operations because they can't find staff. So I think the big reason is deaths and disability. I posted an article from Market Ticker that's really scary that indicates the deaths are significant. John, Titus, and I 2 weeks ago talked about in the last 2 years, there's a 3 million increase in disabled in the US, and that's only what's reported, I'm sure it's more. But I think between the actual deaths and disability, it's much higher than you might think. But in addition, people are, they're in the black markets. They're running drugs, they're doing illegal activities, they're tracking and targeting people. The contractors pay a fortune through the smartphones for people to run around and follow other people and target them. For a long time, you had people making money in crypto and being able to borrow against their crypto positions. And a lot more people are homeless. Many, many people, I think, are living at home. So kids who, because of the vaccine, now have neurological problems or are disabled as a result of poisonings. And it's not just the injections, it's the vaccines. All these autistic kids are getting older and they're not coming into the workforce. Instead, they're staying home. So I think it's a wide combination of things, many of which are directly connected to the what I call the great poisoning. Hi, Catherine. I was wondering if anyone has looked into the infant deaths that could not be proven to be from the Abbott formula and the possibility of mothers' COVID vaccination being a potential factor in their deaths. I don't know. And so I put the link, and if anybody has any intelligence on this, please do let us know. I do know that the sudden infant deaths, and Antoinette Gaudy had a great paper about the connection between them and traditional vaccinations. And I think Gaudy's right. I think it is very much connected to vaccination of the babies. This is weird. Hello, things are getting a bit more dangerous. So this is somebody who's being targeted. One of the things you might want to do is if you decide you want to be less vocal, I want you to know prayer closets really do work. And there's a way to do activism through prayer. And don't underestimate it if you want to have a quiet period for a while. Catherine, have you done any research on privacy phones, satellite phones, or electric bikes? Actually, I've done a lot of research on phones. I just tried a new one, Fairphone. I don't like it at all. I think I'm going to hate it. Anyway, so I continue to look for a good phone. And I've been doing a lot on electric bikes, but I still haven't bought one. It's one I don't want to make a mistake on. And anyway, I should get off my duff and do that. Somebody asking about child trafficking, and they were pointing out a really strange child book that was all about pizza parties. And so I went ahead and ordered it and gotten it. And you're right, it's totally beyond creepy. I cannot imagine a legitimate reason to give this to kids. So I'm with you on that one. It looks very, I don't know, it's an unprofessional opinion. I don't have a lot of experience about current pedophilia practices. Hello, Catherine. I'd like to thank you for your work, guidance, information that you're giving the public on your podcast, especially with Greg Hunter and Christina Borgeson. You live in New Hampshire and you're doing great things. So I put the link is in the show notes to the website. There's a lot of great people in New Hampshire and they're active. They take responsibility. It's a great, what is it they have on the license plate? Live free or die. Anyway, I had relatives. Our family farm was in New Hampshire, and my uncle lived in New Hampshire for many years. And I just put a link to my story about the funeral service at the Dover Quaker meeting in New Hampshire. when he died, because one network you have to plug into in New Hampshire are the Quaker meetings. They don't have a lot of Quaker meetings, not anywhere near as much as we had in Pennsylvania, but I would definitely make sure to plug into them because they're great people. The new annual wrap-up has gone to the printer. It will be out in 2 to 4 weeks, 2 weeks in Europe and 4 weeks in Wisconsin from the Wisconsin printer. Anyway, it's fantastic, and it's that piece on sovereignty. The PDF will be up on the website on Monday, and you want to spread that one in taxation to all and anybody dealing with how to bring about real change. You should get all of those and spread them around. Dear Catherine, I listened with interest to your interview with Thomas Meyer on the Threefold Social Order. You quoted the maxim, most people want a quick fix. In my view, that is a fallacy too often promulgated by the few to misinform the many. Allow me to make a contrary argument. You do. It's very well written and interesting, and it's about how people just sacrifice tremendously for decades to, do it the long, slow, hard, old-fashioned way. And I couldn't agree more, so I stand corrected. What I will say is because people are doing so many great things the old-fashioned way in the areas that are important to them or with the people they really love, they have all sorts of areas that they don't have a lot of interest in and they don't want to spend a lot of time on and don't see a reason, and they do want a quick and dirty solution. And because I was an investment advisor for 10 years, I had a lot of wonderful parents who were busy being great doctors and trying to raise their kids. And actually the doctor I know was willing to take the time, so let me come up with something else. A nuclear engineer who wanted to be a great nuclear engineer and wanted to do a great job and spend all his time with his kids. And he just really didn't want to be bothered with spending a whole lot of time on his investment. So he did want something quick and dirty. But it wasn't because he wasn't willing to do it the long, slow, hard, old-fashioned way and do great things and work really hard and sacrifice on the areas that were important to him. It was just that, when technocracy makes the world this complicated, you can't do that on everything. Okay, so health and food, but I want to thank you for what you said. I agree with you totally and I stand corrected. I'll be more careful how I use that. Okay, health and food. Somebody wrote in about shungite, and you can read it. I sent it on to Jennifer. We had a question for Dr. Simon McCullough, who did a great interview on called Unlabeling and sort of all the issues on labeling. And I sent it to Pete Kennedy and asked it to send it to her. Somebody wrote the most amazing post about the test, just for excellent intelligence. And I would suggest if you do take the test, you try the trick of the African president who had the test used on a goat, a fruit, and some Coca-Cola. I think the fruit was a pawpaw. Some recommended links, one on Canal Street Research on alternate currency. Somebody talking about the dangers of approving terms and conditions. There's a great documentary I've recommended several times called Terms and Conditions May Apply. And it's fantastic. It says if you read all the terms and conditions of everything you use, you'll spend 3 months a year just reading the terms and conditions, which is why a lot of people do just click and agree. When I have a doing a financial product or a financial account or any kind of financial contract, I won't just click it. I'll read all terms and conditions. I tell the story of when I was looking for an ACH service. I had to read 135 pages of tiny type, and then it turned out there was another like 35 pages of tiny type. It took weeks and weeks and weeks, but I read it all. Anyway, I agree with you. They are putting true evil in the terms and conditions, and one of the conundrums of modern life. Hi, Catherine. I attached below a list of organic food supply. Most of the emergency food is toxic. This is great. Thank you so much. That's wonderful, wonderful intelligence. And we've posted it and we've sent it to a couple of different people. So I'm circulating it. And I really appreciate that. Dear Catherine, I cannot thank you enough for speaking out with intelligence, experience, clarity, courage, and invitation to create a truly inspired life. You were listening to an interview with Matthias Desmet. And he, at 37 minutes, he described what happens when people speak out. So I got to tell you, Desmet will never be published on Soleri. And the reason why is explained in an interview I just did with Ulrich Groniger called Control and Freedom Happen One Person at a Time. And I recommend that to you. And I'm about to do an interview with Peter Bregan because I finished Desmet's book. I won't read things that I don't think are useful, but this one, I think the promotion of mass hypnosis is sufficiently harmful that I wanted to read it. And so I'll talk with Peter Bregan about it. We'll publish that sometime this month. Someone sent in the link of Kelly O'Meara unpacking all the questions about the Texas school shooting. O'Meara is absolutely first rate. I've only watched the first 15 minutes of this before I had to record, and it's typical Kelly O'Meara. She just rips the official story to shreds. Anyway, she's got a lot of deep knowledge and experience on school shootings. Very, very top investigative reporter, but I love her style. Okay, the fifth Russian executive associated with the Gazprom gas company has been assassinated. So we now have five very bizarre deaths. I put notes, and it's very sad because one of the Gazprom Bank vice president was killed. His wife and daughter were also killed with him. It's terrible. Really horrible. Anyway, beautiful family. It's very horrible. Some websites will list country of origin for a product, but there's not yet a way to limit web searches to products from a specific geographic region. Here's a 2021 attempt to list tools which are manufactured in the US. Ah, that's great. I do know Etsy will limit your search for places, so that you can buy from a country or you can buy in an area where you can stop the sort of customs costs. So you can buy in the EU or you can buy in the Netherlands. So if you're trying to find things on Etsy, they will respect that kind of search. A link from the Conservative Treehouse on why Biden is irrelevant to real economic transition in of the US energy program. Again, representing the administration is represented by someone from BlackRock. Then somebody pointed out the amicus brief filed by Liberty Counsel related to the Roe versus Wade decision from Corey Diggs's website. Very interesting. Corey's been doing some more great, great work. She's got one coming out on the EPA decision. Then a link about the Rockefeller Foundation scenario planning, the increase in the cost of a July 4th cookout. A very interesting one by a Russian on frequencies used in telecommunications. I really appreciate that. I sent that on to Ulrich and I printed it out because I want to read that. Another about the BRIC doing a reserve currency. Believe it or not, the dollar is skyrocketing. It went over 100, the US dollar index went over 107. A lot of that is people, moving out of bonds and trying to get into cash. Big pharma corporations to unleash reformulated COVID vaccines without any clinical trials. Oh, pray tell, what could possibly go wrong? It's unbelievable. In this article and podcast, Simon Black wants to remind the protesters who are outraged at the Supreme Court's recent decisions regarding abortion and gun control that the role of the Supreme Court is to decide whether or not legislation is constitutional, not whether or not they personally happen to agree or disagree with it. The way things work under the current system, he reminds us, is that if people are not satisfied with the Supreme Court decision, they either have to have the legislation reworked or so that it conforms to the Constitution or to amend the Constitution. Yep, but don't mention amending the Constitution. It's a very bad idea. If you open up the Constitution, Mr. Global will drive a fleet of trucks through it, just a veritable fleet. And then somebody, just to cheer me up, sent a link about Canada completing construction of a manufacturing facility to make food from bugs. I don't know if you've seen this new video of Nicole Kidman on Twitter eating bugs and trying to make it look fashionable. It didn't work, clearly. It just made her look weird. It's more bizarre a world. So in News Trends and Stories, we published part one with Joseph this week, and in the first part, we created a new section called Bizarro World. We took all the Bizarro World stories out and put it under Bizarre World, under a picture, my picture, favorite picture of my image of the Shriekometer. It's pretty funny. So check it out on the web presentation. We've got great presentation of all the, you know, different top stories, and it's organized in war fronts, and very important, the actions you can take to protect yourself. Because we want you to play to win on all 20 war fronts, the first 10 this week and the next 10 next week. So again, questions in the script, answers in the audio. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on Ask Catherine, and I will talk with you next week.